Welcome to Office Hours. It's Celebrity Entrepreneur Show with James Maslow. I got all the great entrepreneurs, the young entrepreneurs, the old entrepreneurs, the ugly and the beautiful entrepreneurs. And I'm lucky to have the young and beautiful with me today with James Maslow. Thanks for doing this with me, buddy.
I'm glad you clarified that. I really wasn't sure where I fit into that, but I'll take it. Always a pleasure to see you, David. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Well, thank God for virtual because we get to catch up with our favorite celebrities. And we've run the gauntlet when it comes to athletes, celebrities, billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs. But one of the verticals, the industries we haven't really ventured into as far as celebrity goes and the entrepreneur role in that celebrity is the world of art. And there's a lot of celebrity and a lot of entrepreneurship within the context of the industry of art design. And so I was trying to pick who's the most entrepreneurial of all artists. Because as you know, in history, artists don't really become entrepreneurial till they die. And so today, Banksy and others like Michael Brandrup, the Mikael Brandrup, my man, has figured this out from the world of business into the world of art and back into the world of business. We're blessed to have our latest celebrity entrepreneur here on the Celebrity Entrepreneur Show. Mr. Michael, what's going on?
How you doing, man? Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. I am great. I'm in my studio in LA. That's where I love to be the most. That's where I enter my flow state and this state where I'm not thinking. And that's when I'm creating, you know. it's my calm space, my haven. And I'm there now, and it's a pleasure to meet up with you guys, as always.
That's as always, awesome. Having you.
And first time I see you, James. Pleasure to meet you as well. I know you as well for years, but yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey, Michael, I thought your journey is a unique one that in business it started. You followed the business passion and then moved into a more flow state, a greater artistic passion that you had, where James, I think, followed his artistic passion and then learn the entrepreneurship side. You started the other way, which is how I started as well, right? I wasn't ever in the flow state. I was all about business and entrepreneurship, making money. There was no spirituality to David Meltzer other than the energy of money. So can you give us a little bit of background on that journey, how you started as an entrepreneur, but then it led you to the flow state?
Yeah, I think like at a very early age, I just wanted to escape the safe environment and the education. And I started studying graphic design in when I was like 20 years old, and it was like a 5-year long education. And it was actually like my mom that suggested, hey, why don't you study graphic design? And like, oh, right. I'll be, she saw something that I didn't, you know, I never thought that I would make my creativity into something, you know. So I went ahead, started the education. It's a 5-year long education. Halfway in, I'm like, no, I had a great apprenticeship, worked with big brands. And, it was a very rare and good thing I had going. But anyways, I wanted to escape the safe environment, skip the education and actually start a competing business where I had my apprenticeship. So they actually sued me as well and stuff. It's a whole other story, by the way. They did not like that. I think they really appreciate me as being their apprentice. And now I'm going out and starting my own business. And super tough, but I found my passion there. In my early 20s, building this company out from my little apartment with my brother and a friend. And after a couple of years living off a bank loan and almost homeless and everything, we managed to land big clients and we got a good business going on. And we skip forward 6 years. I'm in my late 20s. And I did a personality test to get an idea of who I am as a person. How can I stay? What's my strength? What are my weaknesses? And that personality test actually changed everything. Sitting down, going through this comprehensive personality test with a business coach. And she looked at me and I said, Michael, are you burned out? And I was like, wow, maybe I am. Because the last couple of years, I've been working really, really, really hard. But I didn't feel that I was going anywhere. It still felt wrong, you know, but I was forcing it because it was my passion. I found my passion, and I think I couldn't come to the realization that my passion was suddenly not my passion anymore. But I had to realize it. It was not my passion anymore, and I had to break free from the corporate design world and create whatever I wanted to. And that was the question that I had to answer. And it, when I went on an inward journey, I found out, let out the noise, and I started painting. I've always been painting graffiti on the side. It was just a hobby. But now I'm like, I just want to express myself with no rules, no attracting a certain target audience and working with companies and web design and all that. I just want to paint what I want. I want to create what I want with no rules, no limitations. Went down that journey, posted my first artwork with a link to buy the print on social media. This is like 10, 12 years ago, went completely viral. And this is still in Denmark. And I'm like, okay, I know what I'm going to do now, but I'm just going to do it in LA. And people thought I was crazy. You know, I didn't even have like an established art brand or anything. I was a nobody. Came to LA, started all over again. Fast forward, here I am.
That's awesome, man. Well, it's inspiring that you followed your passion and your dreams and truly get to do what you want to do. But even coming from an artist, something you mentioned is burnout. And I don't think it matters what industry you're in, but speaking from the perspective of somebody who makes music and acts for a living, I often struggle with this as well. Like, at what point do I give myself some time? I'm worried about burnout. I've had years at a time where I don't take days off and I realize that's unhealthy, but where's the balance? Because I love what I do. What is your strategy? Like, how aware of burnout are you in your day-to-day life? And do you make sure to take time for yourself, or do you have any tricks or tips you might give our audience about preventing getting to burnout and staying creative?
Yeah, it's a very fine balance. And I guess it's very, very important that you listen to yourself and find your own balance, because there's not a recipe for that, because somebody have the perfect balance by working every day because they don't see it as work. I have been going down that path before and have tried to burn out. And it also resulted in an identity crisis and the whole thing, you know, and it definitely changed a lot in my mind. And I still feel that the real art, and I talked with David about this yesterday, that the real art here is when you are living your dream, your passion, and you found your path, and you do that, but without burning out, that you just go to, because you still want to pursue your potential. And I guess that you have to go to the edge and find out where your edge is. And that's the only way, because I want to pursue my potential. I want to figure out what I'm capable of. When I'm not capable of, you know, doing this anymore, I want to look back at a life where I did everything 110%. And we also know that the more resilient you are, the more success you can get. So I think some of my tips are to study personal growth and mindset in terms of stoicism and resilience, because it will make your mind a better space, because you don't want anything to break you, or at least you want to be in control. So when shit hits the fan, you don't have downtime too much. You get back up again, and you learn yourself to know in a way, so you have the right hacks. You can hack your brain. So you know how to get out of the discomfort, out of the anxiety. And I do a morning meditation every day, and I don't start my day until I believe in my future. I have a lot of mornings where I'm not motivated. And if I could just keep going with that, I would probably burn out. But then I set the right tone in the morning, in the early morning. And then I'm like, I brush it off. I brush all that off, all the self-doubt, all the anxiety early in the morning. And I tell you, a lot of my paintings I also painted. I painted them with like full anxiety, you know, where I've had like too much stuff going on in my life, and I still forced myself to paint, and I'm able to, you know, brush it off. So I'm still searching for the right recipe and the right life hacks. But the last 10 years have been a journey where I'm becoming to know myself so much more. And the way I become more familiar with myself is to do these meditations, because I can see what's triggering me, and becoming self-aware of what is triggering you and how can I work on that.
That's great.
I love it. One of the things that we talk about is how things make us feel, and it's relative to the meaning we give it. A lot of people won't remember, recollect, or remind with a certain factual circumstance, but in the essence of emotion, of energy itself, I think that art represents or illustrates the emotional connection to things, that we look at something like that picture behind you and it makes me feel a certain way, and therefore I then give it a meaning. And that meaning, it would be, to me, not humble to think that my meaning would be the same of anyone else's, or as some of the more arrogant art docents that I've met, that somehow I should align with thinking what other people are thinking, which is the root of forgiveness, James and Michael, is that we need to forgive ourselves for thinking that we know what other people think. And we also have to forgive ourselves for what other people think we're thinking, because it's absolutely mathematically, scientifically, anatomically, and chemically impossible.
I mean, we don't know what we're thinking half the time. Let's be real.
Let's really be real. Exactly. There is that emotional connection to art. And I have a duplicative question. One, what is the meaning of the painting behind you? And when other people see or give meaning to your work that is completely divergent or not aligned at all with what your meaning is there any ego involved or any explanation necessary, or just acceptance and forgiveness that other people are emotionally perceiving what they mean by what they're witnessing? So first, what does the painting mean behind you? And if other people aren't aligned with your meaning, how does it make you feel and how do you react?
Yeah, first of all, I'm not dictating anything with my art. It's abstract and open to interpretation. And the painting behind me is called World of Evolution. And it's a part of a whole series of paintings that I painted that was within the concept of everything starts with nothing. And that's a thought that a late night thought I had in my studio, where I was just staring at a new collection of paintings. And I was preparing for this big show, and I was just like, everything starts with nothing. I start looking at the blank canvas, just like in your life, you start looking at a blank page, and then it's up to you to fill that page. And it's kind of like mind-blowing and very simple sort of thought at the same time, that everything starts with nothing. And that was, so this painting was a whole journey for me, and it's actually an abstract interpretation of a world map as well. So this is just like, it's huge. It goes this way and that way and way further up, and it's a whole world map. And so it's kind of like how I see the world, and I worked on that painting for the most of the year. So it's my journey and how I see the world. And every time I ask people about my art, I hear new opinions and personal attachments and experiences, because it is abstract. And I am just in love with creating the non-existing, bring the non-existing to life. That is my purpose. You know, I was just never turned on by creating something that already existed, you know. And everything starts with nothing. That is a deep thought. And I think a lot of people, they could relate to that, but they find their own answers in my art every time I hear the stories.
It's awesome that you encourage people to find their own interpretation and their own experience from your art. I have a bit of a technical question, because I have always somewhat jokingly said that I'm an artist in just about every sense of the word, except for actually being able to draw and paint. Far from skilled in that set as an artist. And so when I look at your work and the scale at which, just the massive scale, you know, look at the Wynwood wall painting. You did that recently, right? So I have a condo in Edgewater, so I'm very familiar with that.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Yeah. And it's one of my favorite places in the world to walk around. For anybody listening who doesn't know, Wynwood is a part of Miami that just has gorgeous, huge art murals everywhere. And you have one of them. And my technical question is, where do you start when it comes to actually drawing out or mapping out, or do you just freehand the whole thing? I mean, how does that work when you're doing such a large scale piece of art?
I think one of the most beautiful things about what I do art in general, at least for my art practice, is it's a journey into the unknown. So it unfolds as I start, and I never know where this is going. I'm almost excited myself, like, how will this end out? You know, I have no idea, you know. And as I work, sometimes I work with preparatory drawings and full-on Photoshopped color drawings as well. And sometimes it's more freestyle. But that particular wall I did in Windward Walls, that was a very special concept where I pushed my boundaries and got completely out of my comfort zone, because I spray painted what I would usually paint with acrylic paint. So my acrylic paint, this piece behind me, I put that down on a table and I would pour out the paint and make the compositions with big brushes and a lot of different tools. And I wanted this style, but on a standing wall, and then imitate the acrylic fluid effect with spray cans.
Wow.
So I prepared, I took maybe 5 or 6 photographs of my abstract art. I stitched them together in Photoshop, and then I drew up like a sketch, a composition. Then I projected it onto the wall, and then I used maybe 500 spray cans with different colors and everything. And I worked on that mule for almost a week, and then a lot of preparation behind that. So that's how it came to life. Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing. Cool. I want to bring it home with a very important question about celebrity entrepreneurship. And as celebrities, billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs, there's an elusive objective that is contrary or conflictual in a lot of times with our art, our flow. And that's our relationship with an energy that we call money. And so I'm going to ask a question. You don't have to answer it, but I'm just curious. How do you make money today? Where does the money flow as your energy goes?
Yeah. First of all, I'm very, very thankful to be the 1% of artists that can actually make a living. And also
0.1%, not 1%.
Yeah, right. Very thankful for that. And also to be in a position where I can also help other people and donate to charities that I believe in. Where I earn my money are from my original paintings, and I exhibit them with both galleries. I build my own exhibitions, and then I do limited print editions as well that you can buy on my website. I do these like limited edition drops every now and then. It's been very, very important for me from the start to build a business that was not depending on galleries, completely self-dependent. I also work with galleries, but I'm not exclusive to anybody. So I have my own collector base, my own newsletter database. And so I have like my own thing going. I do big brand collaborations such as Bentley, Samsung, Google, Tops, LinkedIn, Nike. I work with all those big brand collaborations. And that is the majority of the stuff I do. Yeah, so also like licensing and royalties and stuff like that.
That's awesome. Well, I love what I've seen of your art. I'm so grateful to have met you, and truly going to go and look around. We recently moved into this house and have a lot of walls to fill. So,
all right,
I'm excited to go peruse.
Yeah,
trust James for sure.
Yeah, it's impressive. I first met Michael about 5 years ago at his studio in Los Angeles with his family there, and we sat down, and there was this beautiful painting behind me. And at the end of the interview, I said, "Wow!" So I just have to tell you, that is an amazing painting. And, you know, it just resonates with me. It's my kind of art. And he said, "That's funny, because you were the inspiration for that painting, and I'm going to gift it to you." And so I have a beautiful piece that sits in our offices and has for years, and been a great addition to brightening the frequency, the vibroacoustic nature, as you know, as a musician, James, to the holding of the space, the space between the notes is where art exists and where Michael's genius and your genius exists. So it is a blessing that you took the time to be with us. Now go back and create something even greater. We look forward to our next venture with you. I will see you soon. Thank you, Michael Brandreth.
Thank you for having me, guys. See you soon.
Sounds good. See you soon. Thank you. What a guy. He reminds me of you, just in a different artistic manner. Takeaways of the day, my brother. What do you think?
There's such a beautiful humility. And to meet artists at the top of their game who still come in, you know, when you asked him about money, one of the first things he wanted to talk about was his ability to give, his ability to contribute to charities and take his hard work and the money that comes with that, where his energy has gone, and direct it, his energy, his money into other people. And it is motivating and inspiring. And one other thing I'll say is he's a perfect addition to Celebrity Entrepreneur, because he made it very clear that, look, while he does work with big brands and do some of the traditional things with galleries, he also started as an entrepreneur selling his own art and has retained the ability and the freedom to have, as he put it, his own thing going. And to stay non-exclusive. So for anybody watching and listening right now, I am truly inspired by his continued passion and love, self-discovery, and discipline. You know, starting your day, my last takeaway, there's so many. Last takeaway is starting your day with positive energy, getting rid of the anxiety and the self-doubt. You know, I do that with my workouts and meditations and sometimes journaling or reading. I know you have a pretty strict morning routine as well. And it's simply one of the best ways that I have found to maintain staying focused, staying positive, staying happy. And I can see a direct correlation between that discipline and how successful he is.
Yeah, and that success is both having a morning routine for me, an unwinding routine is even more critical of putting myself in a position of recovery and access before I enter the state of accessing the unlimited amount of information and energy that exists for the recovery and the next day to plateau and grow. My takeaway is more pragmatic in its nature. I thought it was really interesting that Michael, at a young age, although he had a business coach, took inventory of self. He did that through a test, a personality test. And I find that in the successes and the challenges that I've had in my life, that a lot of times I was looking outside myself to see why I felt stuck, why I wasn't fulfilled or applying my why or accelerating and aggregating and compounding in the nature of divine direction that I wanted to be in. And it all started with taking inventory of self and knowing my cells, taking inventory of my sleep and my health activities and my family activities, my faith activities, the study of time, relativity, and finance. All each day are indicative of that transformation that can occur if we take inventory of self, our skills, our knowledge, our desire, our essence. And one of the reasons I love doing this with you, James, is that you and I share these selves and selves of this inventory and alignment. Even though you're far younger, better looking, and talented, we somehow have the same frequency. I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you participating with me and building this brand, the Celebrity Entrepreneur Show. With James Maslow. Thank you, brother.
So mutual, David, man. I mean, as the audience well knows, I so appreciate your experience, your insights, your frequency. You know, that's actually one of the first things we spoke about when we first met several years ago. Frequency is a very real thing. Do you initially not just get along? Do you jive with somebody where you see their same excitement? You can feel their same energy, focus, appreciation, gratitude. There's so many things that come together within and that make up a frequency. And yours is beautiful. And I've witnessed you sharing and encouraging and using that frequency to lift up so many people. And I'm grateful to be a part of your community.
Thank you, my brother. Have a wonderful weekend. We are blessed to have James Maslow on Celebrity Entrepreneur Show. Thank you, my brother. I'll see you soon.